I knew it was true. I said, hey, metaphysical man, but I know when the stars are aligned, you can okay. Bump into a person in the middle of the road, look into the eyes and you suddenly know. Rocking in the dance hall, moving with you, dancing in and out in the middle of June. My mama told me don't lose you, 'cause the best luck I had was you. I said, hey, I'll be gone today, but I'll be back, come around the way. It seems like everywhere I go, the more I see, the less I know.
Love in the 21st Century is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by the law firm of Peter Habib McKenna and Joel Rhodes, LLP, specializing in civil litigation with an emphasis in personal injury and real property litigation, serving the community since 1896. The law firm of Peter Habib McKenna and Joel Rhodes, LLP, is located at 414 Salem Street in downtown Chico, and the telephone is 342-3593. Say Hey, I Love You. What a great song by Michael Franti. One of my favorites. He's usually more on the political spectrum, but one that really speaks to what we're talking about, the love between a boy and a girl. You know, we all kind of want that connection, that intimate connection in our lives. And tonight we're going to be talking with Sadie and Alec about just that. So thank you so much for both of you joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Tammy.
And we did an installment with you, Sadie, and we talked about being a single mother. And so I was hoping that, you know, Alec, you wouldn't mind starting off and kind of just giving us a little picture. You know, like you mentioned earlier, some people might know you, you know, from your professional world, but what's Alec the dad like? Give us that kind of story, and then Sadie will hear a bit from you.
Okay. Well, I have two little boys that are 9 and 7, and I just love being a dad, and always have. You know, I mean, just really typical dad stuff. I mean, I like to play with them. I like to hang out with them. I taught them how to ride bikes.
That's rad.
Yeah, I mean,
So how'd you become a dad?
How did I become a dad?
Yeah, like how long? Like, I mean, how old are your kids?
I think we know how that works, don't we?
Yes. Okay. Generally speaking, but it's a little different for everybody. Not that part of becoming a dad, but the part of like the relationship part of becoming a dad.
Yeah. Okay. I got married to their mother in 2005. And we had a life together that ended last year. And, you know, I was doing the financial providing and we kind of had this, like, nuclear family thing going on a little bit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think their mom and I did the best we could, knowing what we knew then about marriage and parenting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think we all do, right? To the best that we can. So, Sadie, do you want to give us?
Yeah. Well, I do want to say, I think, you know, Alec is like, oh, you know, just typical dad stuff, but he's just a really excellent father.
Mm-hmm.
And so, just, I feel like, you know, his boys are really lucky, and he's just a great, really stellar representation of what a dad can be.
Awesome. What makes you say that? What is stellar about what he does as a dad?
Well, I think it is, you know, it's a series of small things that are really important. Just really paying attention and, yeah, prioritizing play and out nature, time in nature and playing and connecting. You know, those things can get really easily swept away.
Mm-hmm.
All of us, for ourselves or with our children, we forget. You know, especially I think playing with our kids is really important. And sometimes I feel like I struggle with that because I'll be like, oh, I don't want to play that game. But playing is what they really remember.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just those really simple things that kind of bolster the memories.
I don't remember who told me this, but it's something that I try to keep in mind. And I don't know if somebody told me or if it was just kind of what I picked up by my experience of my father. But, you know, kids never really remember what you do for them. They only remember what you do with them.
Mm.
And so I've been pretty intentional about trying to, you know, as I can, like, fill up their bank of good memories, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, of just being together in, like, a really honest, just, you know, way.
Yes, agreed. So, how old are your boys?
They're 9 and 7.
9 and 7. And mm-hmm. then, Sadie, you have a son as well.
Mm-hmm. He just turned 11 a couple weeks ago.
In between these shows.
Yeah, when I was on the show last time.
So, 11, 9, and 7. And, yeah, so, Sadie, could you maybe give a little bit up to our listeners in terms of, like, your role, how you see yourself as a mom in... Since, I mean, it's not that it's different from our last show, but in case some people didn't get to hear you. Yeah.
Just give you some background about me as a mom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I've been a single mom for a lot of my life as a mother. I had my son when I was 22. I was married very briefly and then set out on my own to pursue a happier existence. And so it's really been, Asher and I have been this very... you know, this duo, this team through the years, and have had lots of different experiences. And, you know, we've always been the core family unit, but there have been other people that I've considered my family through the years. And then we have lived here in Chico for just almost 6 years now. And yeah, I think I probably mentioned this last time, but he's 11. He just turned 11. So I feel like I'm entering this really new phase of parenting because he's just old. He's so much, it's really different. So
old
now I'm learning
11.
New stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So could you maybe tell us, in your perspective, Sadie, what's different dating somebody with children? I mean, obviously you have children, so there's that. But like when we say that it's different, what does that experience look like to you?
Well, for me... I mean, I've had a child for so long, so I've often in my relationships been the one with the child, and I usually date people who don't have children. And so I think, you know, now being in a relationship where we both have children, there's so much... I don't want to, you know, generalize too much, but there's this understanding. Like, once you become a parent, there's just... this information that you download, sort of. And so it's nice to understand that, because I think sometimes if one person doesn't have a kid, there are things that are really hard to bridge. It can be done, of course. I mean, communication makes many things possible, but that's been really nice, and just that understanding of, you know, what parenting is.
So it seems like it's been easier to date somebody that has children since you have children. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, well, it's been really great. I mean, Alec is also really special, so I don't think dating anyone with children would necessarily be better.
Right.
You know, we're a really good match. He has really great kids. He's a really great person. So there's all of those elements. But it being a great match with us both having kids, it has been really nice.
What about for you, Alec?
Well, when I became single again and when my marriage dissolved, you know, and I started, and I, you know, I felt comfortable there and started like thinking of the idea of, you know, seeing somebody or whatever. I honestly just like could not imagine going there with a woman who was not a mother.
Mm.
And that was just my kind of experience of that. Like trying to imagine that seemed really hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like she said, there's those parenting understandings and downloads, as she said. But it seemed like to me that seemed like kind of a chasm for mm-hmm. me. And there's some, you know, there's the general like mother power that happens when powerful women have children, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's really just super attractive to me. And so I think naturally that's just one of the reasons that I was so attracted to Sadie. And
could you explain a bit more of this mother power that you're talking about? We tried to talk about it last time Sadie was on, so it's not a new topic. I just kind of want to hear from your perspective.
Oh, geez. I think I could start here. I mean, it's always... To me, it's always been really attractive to see anybody. I mean, I just mean attractive in the universal sense.
Right.
To see anybody behave selflessly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is the bulk of mothering. I mean, there's a lot of selflessness in mothering. And so to see anybody kind of... bear that torch is attractive, whether it's like, you know what I mean, like,
yes, absolutely.
Like whether it's a mom being selfless for her child or like an activist being selfless for the community, you know, that kind of selflessness piece is attractive.
Gotcha.
In people. Mm-hmm. I think so. There's one aspect of like this universe that you brought up of mother power.
one section. Okay.
You know, also for me, you know, for growing up, I was raised by, you know, a single mom and a really powerful, intense, woman, honest, fiercely independent type of woman. And so that model of like the feminine
mm-hmm.
is pretty imprinted on me. And it was a lot of that I recognized in Sadie just as a person. So there's a type of mothering there that just feels really familiar. And does that make sense?
Yeah. So since I had Alec explain the superpowers that apparently mothers get, I'm going to ask you, Sadie, to describe some of these superpowers that you feel like the men are downloading, because that was the first time mentioned.
Dad powers?
Dad powers, yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that for me, a really important dad power is kind of is providing safety. And I don't mean like financial security or, you know, that manifests a lot as safety, but I think really sort of just holding this space where the clan can be themselves. So each child or the woman, you know, the mother can be herself and the children can be themselves, where there's a safe space for them to do that and where it's safe to love and to be loved. I feel like that is a dad power, and knowing that there is a man who can hold that space, can free women up, you know, me as a mother, to not have to worry about the safety or, and that just frees up so much. We can work on so many more things when that is provided. So that's definitely one thing that comes to mind for me. I think there's a lot of other dad powers too, like barbecuing on the grill and taking us camping and doing all this. I mean, I know that sounds really traditional, but I just really love a man that can do man stuff, and it's really nice. Because for me, in all my years as a single mom, there's just so many things where I'm like, oh, I just wish there was a man that could do this. You right. know, that's real. And so,
especially as your son's getting older.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, in the parenting aspect, yeah, just there's so many. I mean, I know I've done a great job with my son, but there's so many things that only a man can teach mm-hmm. by example.
Right. It's interesting to listen to you too, because even as you're describing the things that are attractive, it's in that parenting sense, you know, that role that you fill as mother or father, that's, you know, becoming more attractive in a partner that you're seeking, is that role that they can fill for those that you love as well in your life, your children, you know, that you, what you're attracted to are those traits that are also going to be attractive to your children. Right, because mm-hmm. overall, if they are providing these things, you know, that you are finding attractive, then your children are going to benefit.
Right,
so that's really awesome. So, how long did you all wait before you started dating again? From your divorces, yeah.
Well, I got divorced a million years ago.
Well, and maybe we don't have to refer to specifically Alec, but just like in that general time frame, like and as I was reading up on single parenting, you know, it's obviously everybody's different in terms of like how long they waited. And I'm just guess the question that I'm trying to get at more is like, do you feel like you needed to allow yourself a certain amount of time before? And I think, Alec, you kind of alluded to this earlier of like waiting to feel like you were ready to be in a relationship.
Yeah, and you know, I had this like this really traumatic heartbreak kind of situation,
mm-hmm.
and I think I did my best to process that just as fully as possible, like really feel pain and really feel all those feelings that that I've seen, you know, other men go through stuff. And often their experiences can kind of shrink their hearts, and they get, you know, they find it hard to trust women again, or, you know, there's all this backwash from this really traumatic experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I just did my best to feel the whole thing all the way, and then. And then there was this, you know, this space of kind of feeling like returning to myself and then occupying that space. And then that's when I met Sadie. Tammy's on the phone.
So I'll talk about when, after I got divorced, Asher was still really small. So I started dating. But I didn't feel ready to be in a serious relationship for a while because I think I had a baby, and I just felt like I had to protect this space so intensely, and I just didn't think anybody could handle it. And I think mostly I was right.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe, you know, had I met the right person and been in a different place or whatever, maybe, but so... I don't know. I definitely started dating, but it took me a couple years to be ready to like really, really explore a relationship.
So we do have somebody that's on the line. Sorry. So that's always the fun challenge of like trying to host the show and have people call. And somebody's on the line that has something that they have to say. But I do want to say that both of you are sort of getting at something else. You know, a lot of my knowledge about this obviously is coming secondhand through reading and others' experiences. And it's, yeah, it's that this whole emotional kind of experience of trusting somebody else once you, you know, whatever the experience was in your past relationship, going into the next one, it's like having to navigate this, and especially with children, not really being too, you know, overly ready to experience that again with the kids. So let me see if I can get this person on. Hello, are you there?
I'm there.
Awesome. You want to introduce yourself and let us know what you got to say?
My name is Russ Bush, and I live up here in Paradise. And I started listening to your program, and I thought, wow, these ladies are so right on that, you know, I just, if I had had that much consciousness inside of yourselves, I probably wouldn't be divorced now, because communication is the spice of life, and, you know, passion, just, that's where we all need to go, is just to, you know, treat each other like we want to be treated. And I was listening to what you were saying, and I was thinking, holy moly, if I had the knowledge and the expertise of these ladies that are so beautifully gifted, I wouldn't be divorced. I'd be in a different situation. I just wanted to add to your program.
Well, thank you, Russ, for calling in. And I just want to let you know that there's always opportunity out there. So there is lots of places to learn better communication skills, if that's something you're so inclined to do. Look up the Chico Peace and Justice Center, nonviolent communication. It's a good start for anything. So thanks again, Russ, for calling in.
Love you guys.
Love you too.
Bye.
Always fun and exciting here at Love in the 21st Century. So you guys are being insightful. Did you hear that? You are helping this... helping out the community just by sharing your story.
Yeah, great.
Love is inspiring.
Love is inspiring.
It is.
So we were just talking about how long you waited. How did you introduce your kids to each other? And in the beginning of, like, dating, like, how open were you in terms of, like, full disclosure about, like, when you were introducing somebody, like, this is somebody that I'm dating. Like, you know, obviously it's probably different based on ages, but yeah, just how that was for the two of you. How did you introduce your kids?
Well, I mean, I was really open with them, and just I feel like we kind of just eased into it. I mean, Sadie and I had this we have this really communicative, honest relationship that has tons of, like, best friendship in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think our kind of the energy in our relationship feels really easy and natural and friendly. Like, we laugh a lot together. We have a lot of fun, you know. I don't know, it didn't seem hard to kind of introduce that, to my boys. Because we're both really, focused on making sure our children are doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know, it seemed like, when you say that, how did we introduce it?
Well, I guess some of the stuff that I've, like, you know...
It's hard for me to, like, remember it even.
Right.
It just kind of, like, was just a natural evolution, yeah.
Right.
But we've been intentional about easing into it, you
right.
know, also. And, like, you know, my ex-wife and I share custody, and so, you know, half and half. And so when I get... This is just an example. Like, mm-hmm. when I get my boys back on Monday, you know, often... Sadie will just kind of, like, not come over, because she wants to make sure that the kids and I can kind of ground into each other again,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so it's been really, there's been a lot of space and understanding regarding just our time with our kids and our own needs. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just feel like we communicate so hard and so much that that all of that feels really healthy, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You want to respond, Sadie?
Yeah, I'll just say that we also were both really honest and open with our kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when we started seeing each other, I know we both told our kids about the other person. So they already knew. And then by the time they did meet, everybody was excited to meet everybody.
Right.
But it has been really easy. The whole thing has been really easy and comfortable. And yeah, and then I think also we have these memories, you know, Alec feels, you know, I remind him of his mom. And then I was also a child of divorce. And I just remember, you know, I just remember what it's like when your parent starts dating somebody else. Mm-hmm. And yeah, transition time is just super important when you're going back and forth between houses. 'Cause right. I remember that. Mm-hmm. And I think that helps us. Our memories.
Mm-hmm. And I guess in a sense, you know, you want that relationship to be more on the sure side. So like, you know, in that easy flow, it kind of just seemed like it was a natural direction that it was going. But some of the stuff and like some of that I read about and some of the things that I've had friends explain to me is that, you know, they kind of protect this time around how long it, you know, 6 months is like one of the things I read. 6 months it takes, you know, before they would introduce their kids to anybody because they were, you know, I think in a sense from what I was gathering, just wanting to make sure the relationship was going to work out. And I think it kind of sides on that whole thing that you were talking about before, about the trusting factor of like, you know, do I feel like I can be vulnerable with this person when you just got out of a relationship?
Right. I think what I'd say about that is like, that sounds good, but in practice,
right.
I don't know what I would do with my kids for 6 months. Like while I was hanging out with Sadie, like where would we go?
It's and totally what inauthentic. The kids do?
Yeah.
That's a really inauthentic way to me,
right?
Because if I hung out with Alec for 6 months without him seeing me acting as a mother,
right.
Then he doesn't know who I am,
right?
So, and I do think with trust, you want to trust someone, you have to have good intuition, but also. You know, you choose to trust people, and then you
right.
you know, you trust them, and sometimes it doesn't work out.
Right. And I think it's part of, like, what I appreciate seeing from an outsider's perspective is the kids being able to really experience what's real. Because I think that we often want to protect children from a reality that we think they're not, you know, ready to accept yet. And that's the reality is it is reality. And yeah. So the children at some point have to be exposed to that because if not, they just get older and older thinking that the world is like completely protected in this bubble that's been created by the parents. So it's important.
I'm not sure they actually ever believe that. They just know that your parents aren't being honest, you know,
right.
eventually. If that whole bubble thing is...
Right.
And, you know what I mean? Like really held on to. And I'm interested in my children knowing who I am as a man because I am trying to give them an example of this process even.
Right.
You know? Because they're going to go through it when they're older. You know?
Yeah.
Meeting
yeah.
people. They're going to meet people.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, kids are smart.
Yeah.
They know what's going on.
Right.
So before we get into a little bit more, what would you say were like in terms of with working with your children, like your parenting styles? Because we keep bringing stuff back to your kids. So how do you think your parenting styles complement each other, and maybe how do your parenting styles maybe differ? Silence.
Go ahead.
Okay, I feel like we're both pretty chill in the best ways, and we have similar priorities.
Yes.
In parenting. I don't know. What do you think?
My, yeah, I mean, I think my, I don't know. It's hard to say what my parenting style is.
That's exactly what I was about to say. I don't know what my parenting style is.
I don't understand the parenting style categories.
Yeah. Okay. Well, parenting style category. Sorry. I had another phone call from Russ, and he was just telling us again how great the show was.
Thanks, Russ.
Oh, that
yes. Nice. So he was just saying that he doesn't come from a very balanced family. So
yeah. Well, hopefully he donates to KZFR during the pledge drive.
Absolutely.
Since without listener contributions, this whole ship will just sink, and that'll be so sad because it's so valuable.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. Good point. That pledge drive starts tomorrow. So there you go. We'll be reminding everybody to call. So I guess like parenting styles in terms of just ways that people choose to deal with things. So like, you know, it seems like you obviously have a very communicative style of working with each other. So that probably, you know, crosses over to working with your children, as well as, you know, one of the big things that came that stood out when I was reading was discipline styles. Like some people do not like when something has to be what child has to be disciplined, they don't want the partner to discipline. Mm-hmm. And there's kind of like a predetermined set of like ways that like parents like to deal with things. So that's what I mean by parenting style.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, when it comes to discipline, I'm all about holding my kids accountable. And I also see the value in having other voices in on that. So like, you know, we always look to our own experiences, right? So like, I think most people can relate to this, having like a coach or like, you know, an adult that you weren't directly related to, kind of holding you accountable to, and giving the same message as your parent does, is really powerful. And so I've always welcomed people I trust to,
be a role
to
model.
Help teach my children, yeah, sure.
I like it. You know, and it's interesting, you know, when I say a lot of stuff that I read, I mean, like, I Google stuff, and then it's like, basically like mainstream America's opinions of raising their children, which is one of the things that we talked about too on the last show, Sadie and I, about just like how kind of a different, Chico specifically, you know, has like a different approach to like kind of like the co-parenting, community parenting styles, as well as just like the mainstream approach to parenting, which is like a lot of parents don't want the people to, you know, tell their kids what they can and cannot do. My parents, like, you know, my parents disciplined me pretty harshly, and even like, and they, but they wouldn't want somebody else to discipline me and if they saw somebody else disciplining me, they would be like, excuse me, don't you think that's my role? Mm-hmm. And so part of it's maybe like a different generation, maybe it's a different, you know, philosophical way of seeing things.
Yeah, I think that village aspect to mm-hmm. Chico, I think that permeates a lot of different parts of our lives.
Right.
And I think if you're raised here, or, you know, have been here a long time, there is this, kind of connectivity with each other that probably transcends most communities, I feel like, especially
Absolutely.
Like, you know, cities or whatever.
Right.
So we're already from that environment. And then with the people that we really trust, or for me, I'll speak for myself, you know, once I've like learned enough about Sadie and her character and her sensitivity and her intelligence and everything else, you know, I completely trust her to hold my children accountable when that needs to happen. You know, it's mm-hmm. not even really an issue for me with her.
Right.
But that's, you know, because she's her.
Right.
But, you know, also, like, I think I am the type of person, too, who, you know, like, if we're out at a community event or whatever, and if my kid was doing something, you know, inappropriate, and somebody, just, like, some random person from the community was like, hey, don't do that, I would be glad that they did that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of my posturing towards it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think it's important for children to be accountable to their community. And also in terms of discipline, you know, I think we're bringing our lives together. And so to open up channels of communication, because really at this point for us, discipline is communication. Mm-hmm. We're not hitting anybody with belts or giving them timeouts. They're big kids.
Right.
So it's just about communication. And yeah. I mean, for me, what a gift, you know, to have this man that I trust. And because there have been times in my life where I'm like, I have no idea what to say.
Right.
And that's, you know, like I said on the last show, I mean, I love having helpers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, and she brought up a really great point that she articulated something that I was feeling there, which was, right, like when, like, discipline at this point, at the age that our kids are at, right, there is no, like, time. I mean, I'm not putting them in timeouts or doing, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Any of that stuff, like, or whatever. I mean, they're the guiding them to community like behavior
mm-hmm.
is all about just relationship with the kids and
right.
and explaining to them and just really showing them why it's important to treat people a certain way, you know,
mm-hmm.
and in the context, in a larger context, not just like, don't hit your brother, that's bad,
right?
But, you know, like bringing it a little bit larger, since they're older, you know, now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Love in the 21st Century on FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. And we are talking with Alec Binion and Miss Sadie Rose about co-parenting and blending families. So keep the station at 90.1 FM, and we're going to be right with you here in a moment.
Oh, great. Just what America's inane big money politics needed. Yet another campaign consultant. Already, candidates are walled off from people, reality, and any honesty about themselves by a battalion of highly specialized consultants controlling everything from issues to hairstyle. But now comes a whole new category of staff to add to the menagerie, donor maintenance manager. We can thank the Supreme Court for this. Its malevolent Citizens United decision has produced an insidious platinum class of mega donors and corporate super PACs, each pumping $500,000, $5 million, $50 million, or even more into campaigns. Those elites are not silent donors, but boisterous, very special interests who are playing in the new court-created political money game for their own gain. Having paid to play, they feel entitled to tell candidates what to say and do, what to support and oppose. A Jeb Bush insider confirms that mega donors bluntly tell the candidate, "I just invested in you. Now I need to have my say. You need to answer to me." Thus, campaigns are assigning donor maintenance managers to be personal concierges to meet every need and whim of these special ones. This subservience institutionalizes the plutocratic corruption of our democratic elections, allowing a handful of uber-rich interests to buy positions of overbearing influence directly inside campaigns. This is Jim Hightower saying, donors at the $1 million and up level are expecting much more than a tote bag for their generous gifts. Of course, candidates piously proclaim, "I'm not for sale," but politicians are just the delivery service. The actual products being bought through the Supreme Court's money-orama political bazaar are our government's policies, tax breaks, and other goodies, as well as the integrity of America's democratic process.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
All right, this is Love in the 21st Century, talking with Alec and Sadie about blending families, co-parenting, and dating with children. Thank you so much again for... This has been a really entertaining hour for me. I just want to let you guys know.
Awesome. Is that because Russ called?
Partially Russ. It's always nice to get phone calls and be told how much the show is appreciated. And also, it's just talking, having couples in the studio, it's always really fun because it's fun to see how two people interact when they're around each other. So
Yeah. There's
always this like different dynamic that comes out within us when we're around the person we love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's been entertaining for that reason. All shows are entertaining though, for different reasons, of course. But yeah, so jumping right back in, there's a couple things that I want to try to fit in before we have to finish up this hour. And those are, one of the big ones is, how have you navigated the land of exes in terms of your relationship now?
Well,
Do you want me to say? So I'm unfortunately in a position where I definitely have like trust barriers with my ex, and I don't think it'll be like that forever. But not trust as far as, you know, her ability as a mother or anything like that. So I mean, but just between her and I.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I would say that, I mean, my relationship with my ex is really, really distant. But she's also, you know, civil.
Mm-hmm.
Civil and distant. So that's kind of where we're at, which is how I like it. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like we really haven't had that much to navigate, and I think, I mean, my ex-husband, Asher's dad, is in a different town,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, it hasn't really felt like, because I have been in relationships where I feel like there has been this big navigation around
mm-hmm.
an ex-relationship, but I don't feel like that, and I think it also just has a lot to do with who Alec is and how his level of integrity and just who he is as a person and how he holds himself. Because to me, that's what's important.
Right.
That's what affects me.
I've never really felt so understood or so safe in a relationship before. Being that understood has kind of put me in this position of like, I just kind of want you to know everything about me,
mm-hmm.
you know, like everything, if, you know, so I don't have these like dark places of like, oh God, I hope she doesn't meet this ex or something, you know?
Right.
That's because, I mean, in a lot of ways, in a short time, Sadie Rose, knows me better than, you know, maybe anybody, which is really special and amazing and something that I never would have expected. But I think in that position, there's a lot of safety. So there's not, I mean, just, you know, what she said, there hasn't been this like need for like navigation necessarily. And our communication is so forward that, you know, when something feels uncomfortable or whatever, mm-hmm. and even if it's a little thing, it always just gets aired, mm-hmm. you know? And also trust her, like, as kind of like in an advisory way.
Mm-hmm.
So we also listen to each other really well when it comes to stuff. All stuff. So.
And I think we really, we turn to each other for counsel a lot, too. So, you know, as, you know, this is a family of where there's divorce, and so there's other exes and other parents and stuff like that. So there's always going to be conversations around just simple divorce things like transitions, like I mentioned, or holidays and planning and things like that. And so, you know, we talk about that kind of stuff too. But it's so nice. It's really comforting, I think, to be able to have this kind of place where we can talk about things and decide what would be fun or feel good.
So do either of you have relationships with the other's ex? Like with your boy's mother, Sadie, do you have a relationship with Alec's ex and like vice versa? Or is it kind of just like you both have your own independent relationships with them and counsel with each other if there's ever a need to?
Well, we're also, you know, we're just about 9 or 10 months into our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, yeah, and I feel like Asher's dad just seems so far away
mm-hmm.
from my life. So right. There's, I mean, Alec has met him, you mm-hmm. know, but there's not a lot of interaction. And then with his ex, I mean, I see her.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely see her a lot, but that's kind of, at this point, the extent.
Mm-hmm.
of our relationship.
Yeah. So can you give us some of the gems of co-parenting? What, just like when you think of like some of like the hallmark moments that you two have experienced, are there any one that like just kind of comes right to the surface?
That's one of those really hard questions that sounds easy to answer,
yeah,
but isn't.
Yeah, like where we're like, oh, they're so cute or something like that.
Well, maybe there was a recent time. Yeah, just something that was really special that you really like, you had a moment where it was all of you guys, you and your kids together, and you were like, maybe one would equate it to being like that moment you're like, oh, this person is the person that I want to spend more time with. Because something happens.
Well, okay.
I mean, like, you know, little things.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, I'm not saying it has to be like, you know,
like Tower having
Pisa.
The kids on the in the park across the street and just playing baseball.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
I mean,
or sitting down at a table of five and having dinner.
Yeah.
You know, and the kids setting the table and Alec making dinner and it's so fun.
Yeah.
I mean,
good moments spent together. That's
just
what
like,
counts.
You know, I mean, all the time. So it's hard to kind of extract bits and pieces.
Well, that sounds great if it's happening all the time. I mean, those are maybe what seems so amazing and wonderful and just so typical and ordinary for you isn't so typical and ordinary or happens all the time with other people. You know, like I think sometimes it takes a lot of people to get to that place where they're sitting down comfortably with a new partner, with their children and feel like, wow, this feels like home. This feels like a family. Like, so that might seem like this everyday occurrence, but a lot of people.
I mean, I think it's, you know, this becoming family. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, we're certainly moving in that direction, but we're also in no hurry to make that a thing.
Right.
You know? And for the sake of the blending.
Yeah, and letting kids, because what was important to me as a child was really knowing that I could have my alone time with my dad or whatever, you know, when he got a girlfriend because, well, I'm also a girl, but I remember just being like, ugh, that woman. But what I was also going to say and what I do want any parents that are, or single parents who are dating, whatever, to hear is that, you know, the way you asked that question, what really, it hasn't been a moment with necessarily all five of us where we're like, we're a perfect family. What is clear is that Alec and I are partners. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, you know, when you have children, your life is of course about your children, but our lives are always about ourselves also. And by, you know, especially in the context of love, you know, and so that clarity and that love is really what's guiding.
One of the things that I read was also about seeing the person that you are, you know, in adoration of, being in adoration of your children is being a moment of like, oh, this person is like somebody I would, you know, there's potential of a longer relationship with them because your children are so significant in your lives. And I feel like you both have sort of exemplified that in your explanations of like those simple moments that you have together are really what keeps it strong. Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely sweet when, you know, other people can connect with your kids.
Mm-hmm. So in our last few minutes together, do you have any tips that you would like to share with, you know, with people out there that might be in your position in terms of getting into a new relationship with their children or, you know, just in that transitionary period of just even considering a relationship?
Tips. Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're doing this pretty well, but I also don't feel like an expert.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
You know?
And I feel like each situation is so unique, and our experience has been so unique, and that's what really made it work for us.
Well, the things that came to mind that helped you in your own transition?
Well, that depth of communication piece and you know, that safety and to be able to do that. And being understood is, that was a huge, kind of like as I was falling in love with Sadie, the one of the biggest things that was there was like, oh my goodness, like I've never felt so understood. And we just have like a lot of things in common. Mm-hmm. You know, like we both write poems.
She wrote me a lot of sweet poems, and that really helped.
And she
tip
wrote,
number one.
Yeah.
Write love poems
to each other.
Good ones.
Yeah, not cheesy ones either. Just ones that are real and good.
You have any memorized?
No. Absolutely not.
Oh.
There's too many.
Shucks.
I think just be super duper real. I mean, I don't
That's
know.
That's a good one. Be who you are. That's a good tip. I like it. Be who you are.
And if that person that you're entangling with is making you more you, that's a winner.
Ooh.
You know, but like
words
that's
to live by right there.
Like if that person is helping you be you and encouraging it in all things, that's good.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Listen, I feel super duper duper lucky to have met Sadie, and I don't think it's normal. And I don't think that you could I don't think that you can like advise somebody into a situation like this.
Yeah, we're really lucky.
I think that we're super lucky,
and you won the relationship lottery. Is that like what you're
kinda
saying?
Well, and I just don't feel like we're teachers around. Right. It, also, we're in this, you know, and we're mm-hmm.
yeah,
we're working.
Right.
Too. So.
But I think luck has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that have intention and really knowing what you want and being able to share the things that helped you. I think that we have a lot to show people or to teach people without really directly teaching them. Like, I don't think your experience here tonight has been like about teaching anybody anything, but more about sharing your own personal experience. And it's amazing how by sharing our personal experience, we allow other people the opportunity to see themselves in our stories.
Yeah.
And also how they can see, oh, like maybe if I just practice that a little bit more, like Russ. I know that Russ was, you know, he gave us a call and he was sharing that. It's like, had he just known this one little thing? And it's like, I'm sure that like over the many years of his life, people talked about how important communication was. It wasn't that like this was the first time he'd ever heard it on this show. But the depth of communication, like the more that's stressed in an open, communicative radio show life, like this is really what makes things work. Very simple. You know, very logical, very basic thing that we all know.
You hit it too, saying like knowing what you want.
Mm-hmm.
The first step of that is kind of like knowing, like really having like a deep knowledge of who you are, and like your faults, and in your like we have to know how ugly we are and how beautiful we are at the same time. You know, mm-hmm. to like really be self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from that place, there's this opportunity to really know what you want in a partner.
Absolutely.
Without it being some like accident, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So then you'll know it when you see it because you've already sort of figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
Say, do you have any closing words?
I don't think so. I feel good about that. And it was really fun getting to share our story. Cool. And yeah, I do think sharing stories is important because it does touch people in ways that you might not expect.
Absolutely. So thank you again, both of you, for being willing.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thanks, Tammy.
Yeah, for being on the show. And anybody out there in radio land that wants to come and share their stories, you can feel free to give us a call here at KZFR. It's one of my favorite things is to interview people about just their life. Because, like I said, it's amazing the amount of things we can learn from each other just by listening. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll be on next week. We'll be doing the pledge drive. So pledge drive starts tomorrow. Make sure to call in and donate some money because this is a community-based radio station. And the only way we're able to serve you is by support from the community. So there'll be some awesome prizes and some awesome people to support. Come on down and either support by coming to the radio station or calling in. Have a great evening.
90.1 KZFR presents In Chico, Midnight North, the Good Luck Thrift Store Outfit, and special guest Alex Nelson. Friday, November 20th, 7:30 at the Chico Women's Club, Midnight North. Good Luck Thrift Store Outfit. Special guest Alex Nelson. That's Friday, November 20th, 7:30 at the Chico Women's Club. Tickets are only $15 for this KZFR benefit. You can pick them up at Chico Paper Company and online at kzfr.org. Midnight North with Graham Lesh, the Good Luck Thrift Store Outfit. Special guest Alex Nelson. Chico Women's Club, Friday, November 20th. KZFR benefit. See you there.
And this is FM 90.1, KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond.